and Monet Lex again.
Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is John and Monet Lex again, and we want to thank you all for calling into the Mojo Blog Talk Radio, because, as you know by now, we believe that marriage really matters. We also believe that you, our audience, believes that too. So allow for me to disclose a few things, as we always do, and that is, this is an open dialogue forum that will allow you to ask questions or express your thoughts about the subject matter on hand, which tonight our topic is, he loves me, he loves me not. Now, before we hit the topic, first I got to tell you guys a little bit about the show. The platform of our show is to simply promote marriage and demote divorce. Monet and I are not licensed counselors by any means or experts, but we do feel that we are led by God to help individuals understand the principles of marriage and to help restore marriages as a whole. So we encourage you to continue to call in and help us as we continue to help others.
So first and foremost, on our show we've discussed several topics. And so far we've talked about the benefits of marriage, and we had a huge audience for that. And then we also talked about baby mama drama, and an even larger audience called in for that, and that was a great topic. I think we need to have a sequel to that one. We talked about blended families and how do you blend families where you mix it all up and make it work, and that was a great show as well. And so tonight we're going to talk about he loves me, he loves me not. I think this is a great topic because sometimes as women, and I'll speak for the women, ladies, that's why my husband is here so he can talk from the men's perspective, but or the male perspective. But anyway, you know, we oftentimes wonder if a person is in love with us. And, you know, there are different things based on our circumstances that we tend to base that on. And so tonight we're going to talk about that. But before we do, we're going to talk about some other topics that we're going to discuss on Marriage Matters. One topic is dating before and after marriage. We think that's very important to understand how to date before you're married and then date after you become one. We're going to talk about sex, saved, and sanctified. And reason being is that a lot of times in church, they tend to steer away from the topic sex, and sex is very important in marriage, and we're going to talk about that. But we're not going to talk about the X-rated version, okay, audience? So we're going to keep it clean. This is a Christian show, right? So we're going to keep it clean. But we're going to talk about sex, saved, and sanctified. How to be all three, okay? We're going to talk about in-law issues because after you're married, you oftentimes have issues. And I'm going to ask the audience out there to mute your phone until you get ready to talk, until we open up for the audience to talk. If you could mute your phones, that would be great. And then when you get ready to talk, just go ahead and unmute your phone. Another topic is going to be money and marriage because that's very important in marriage, and money can sometimes break up the unity of marriage. We're going to talk about how to keep the flame burning. And you and I both know it's cold outside, and you got to keep the flame burning. I mean, when you're cold, you want to cuddle and things of that nature. So we're going to talk about how to keep the flame burning in a relationship. Patience, not punishment. Don't punish your mate when you're mad at him. Dealing with children from another mother or another father, that's a hot topic as well. We're also going to talk about what's mine is mine. Okay, when you get married, you got to learn how to share. That's what being married is all about. The things that frustrate you about your mate. The things that you love about your mate, that's going to be another topic. Why not divorce? That's going to be a topic. So those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about during our show. And I know I'm excited about those topics, especially the sex saved and sanctified. I think that's very important, and it needs to be touched on, okay? So our topic, he loves me, he loves me not. Let's hit on it. So how do you know when someone loves you? How do you know when you are in love? What is love? So, honey, how did you know that you were first in love with when you fell in love with me? How did you know that?
Oh, wow. Let's see. How did I know when I was first in love with you?
Yes.
Could it be when you made me lasagna one time? No, it wasn't that time. You know, I think you just kind of begin to feel a certain way. You know, as they say, it make you feel some type of way. And I think that, you know, you get that feeling inside of you, and it's a weird, kind of awkward, kind of comforting, kind of new, kind of old. It's a special little thing in there that you kind of go, I got a really good connection with this person. And I think when you begin to feel that way, based with a lot of other things, mind you, I think that's when you begin to say, hey, I got feelings for this person. And then as it grows, I think you begin to understand that it's just not the normal feelings you have for someone else, and that it's actually what one would consider love.
So when was a special moment?
Wait. So when did you first know that you loved me?
See, I know exactly. I want details on you. Like, I want, like, around the time that you fell in love with me. I think our audience should know that. I think you're holding back.
I'm a fellow of you. Well, I think it was a night we went out, and I knew you liked me, and I knew I liked you, but you actually got on stage, and you sung to me in front of about 150 people that I did not know, and I think at that point I kind of knew that I was in love with you at that moment. Now, back to answering my question.
Okay. So when did I know I was first in love with you? I knew that I was in love with you when I kept sending you on your way. Yes, I did, y'all. I want to slap myself. Hold on, let me slap myself. Damn. Okay, I'm going to slap myself because when John and I, we were dating, John wasn't the typical guy that I was used to. I'm going to be honest. I had that bad boy type of attraction, and I was kind of like, always interested in the bad boys, okay? And so John wasn't that atypical guy that I was used to dating. And I didn't see him as weak. I just saw him as different, and I didn't know how to take that. So there was a time when I think him and his daughter had come over to visit, and I felt myself, like, falling in love with him. And so I asked him, could he leave? Could they leave? And he was hurt by that. And then I did it again. Hold on, let me slap myself. Wait. Okay. So I did it again, and basically he told me, hey, if you send me away again, he said, I'm going to never come back. And when he said that, it really, like, did something to me. And so I called him back, and I was like, hey, you know, I apologize for that. You know, I'm just dealing with something. You know, I'm liking you a little bit too much too soon. Don't know what I'm feeling, but, you know, I need you in my life. And so he said, okay. And so when they did decide to visit again, it took him forever to come over. Like, he stopped at McDonald's. He stopped at the park. And I was like, I thought you were going to be here. He's like, yeah, I just stopped a few places. And that really helped me because I was missing him. And so for him to take a long time to get to me, I said, I better get my stuff together. So that's kind of when I realized I really love John. And so with that said, when did you decide that we were going to be one?
When did I? Well, one as far as marriage or one as far as, well, I would say after a while of dating and being together, and we had both coming out of other relationships that had ended on bad notes. And so I think it took a moment for, not that I didn't know that I loved you and wanted to be with you, but I had to understand, was I ready to move on?
Mm-hmm.
And so once I realized I was ready to move on, that I could move on, and that it was the right thing to do, I don't know the exact time frame, because we dated over a year.
Right.
But at that point, whenever that point was, you know, I said, hey, we're going to do this, and we move forward.
Yeah. I think the main thing that kind of freaked me out about this whole relationship was that John was very consistent, and I always sat back because I had dealt with so much inconsistency in a relationship and individuals not keeping their word and things of that matter, that it really scared me that I had a man who, after 6 months, didn't stop, you know, opening up my car door or pulling my chair back when we sat down at the dinner table at home and in public. And, you know, in my mind, I said, yeah, I mean, he's good and all, but this is all going to stop. And then after a year or so, he just kept it up, and I was like, well, maybe it isn't. And it just really messed me up because I was so used to things being done early on in a relationship, getting caught up in my feelings, thinking that I was totally in love with a person, and then things would change, you know. And we're blessed that after 5 years of being together, you know, he hasn't changed. I probably have changed for the better, but, you know, he hasn't changed. And so, you know, I appreciate that about him. But before we can really, you know, open up the lines and talk about love and how we know when someone is in love with us, I think it's crucial for us to understand the different types of love, okay? And John's going to talk about agape love.
Okay. For you guys that may know and don't know, there's different types of love, and it's love is, you know, it's mentioned not only in dictionaries and on Google and whatnot, but it's also mentioned in the Bible and whatnot. And one of the most common loves that's out there is agape love, which means love. It means, it typically means a brotherly love or charity, the love of God for man and of man for God. And agape is used in the biblical passage known as the love chapter, which is 1 Corinthians 13. And it's described there throughout the New Testament as brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, and benevolence. Now, whether the love given is returned or not, the person continues to love even without any self-benefit. Agape is also used in ancient texts to denote feelings for one's children and the feelings for a spouse. It was also used to refer to a love feast. It can also be described as the feeling of being content or holding one in high regard. Agape is used by Christians to express the unconditional love of God for his children. And this type of love was further explained by Thomas Aquinas as to will the good of another. And Monette, why don't you tell us about another type of love?
Okay, let's talk about Eros love. This love mostly means of the sexual passion. It stems from the modern Greek word erotos, which means intimate love. It can only apply to dating and relationships as well as marriage. And basically, that's what it means. It means the sexual passion. It comes from Plato, and Plato refined his own definition. Although eros is initially felt for a person with contemplation, it becomes an appreciation of the beauty within that person, or even becomes appreciation of beauty itself. So basically, Plato doesn't talk about the physical attraction as a necessary part of love. Hence, the use of the word platonic to mean without physical attraction. And so basically, we can look at that word and think about beauty on the inside and more of a spiritual type of affection. The next type of love is philia. Am I saying that right, honey?
Kind of like Philadelphia.
Philly, yeah. Okay. And that means affectionate regard, friendship, usually between equals. And it is a dispassionate, virtuous love, a concept developed by Aristotle. Okay? So that's kind of like a friendship type of love. Baby, why don't you talk about storge love?
That means love, affection, and especially of parents and children. It is natural affection, like that felt by parents of offspring, and is rarely used in ancient works and then almost exclusively as a descriptor of relationships within the family. It is also known to express mere acceptance or putting up with situations, as in loving the tyrant. So there's your four breakdown of love and its four definitions thereof that we know of.
Okay. So basically, we're going to talk about the agape love and the eros love. The love that you have to have the love of Christ in you to really understand love. And as my husband mentioned, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you can go back and read that whole chapter. It talks about love. It talks about brotherly love, affection, goodwill. But you got to have, in my opinion, you got to have the love of Christ to really understand and know how to give love and give it in an unconditional and unselfish way. And Corinthians talks about that. It speaks about love and how love should be and how everything else might fail, but charity faileth not. And, you know, we go in this life for, you know, a time wanting to know what true love is all about. And then we adapt that love through the love of Christ. We get to know Christ for who he is. And then we have to transfer that love to one another. And right now we're talking about the intimate love, the eros love, the passion love, the sexual passion type of love that we have, you know, in our mate. But you can't have, I don't believe you can have one without the other. What do you think, honey?
Well, no, they're kind of interchangeable. They kind of connect. You can't really, well, I don't think you have one without the other either. And so I guess that's the best plain way to put it. But our topic is he loves me, he loves me not. So if you're saying he loves me not, are you wanting to find how he loves me or how he does not love me? Or tell me where you're going with this, Monette.
So you've been talking about the topic and you really don't know what it means? Are you serious?
Oh, no, I know what love is and I see about love, but we're talking about he loves me not.
Okay, so my husband was at work today when I did the little video. I hope the callers saw the video on Facebook. And the video basically talked about how as a child you would take that rose petal. And I'm from the country. I know it's petal, but I say petal because I'm from the country. But that you would take the rose petal or the flower of your choice, and you would take each petal, and you would take it off, and you would say, he loves me not. And at the very last one, you know, that would determine if whether or not he loved you based on where you were with that saying, like, he loves me not. So if you had one left over and you said, he loves me not, that meant that he didn't love you. So what we're actually saying is, how do you really know when you're loved by someone, your mate? How do you know when your mate really loves you? Well, as for me, there's really no guarantee. There's no guaranteed way to really know if a person loves you, okay? But there are more than a few ways to read the signs to figure out what is on that individual's mind of the person that you love, okay? You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
Okay, so there are ways that you can find out if a person loves you. If you know, there are different things. Okay, I'm going to point out a few things, okay?
Why don't you do it like rose petal? So start with he loves me.
He loves me.
One way to know that he loves you.
Okay. So one way that you can know if a person loves you, you can see if that person talks about your future together, like it's a given.
Okay.
He or she will start talking about your future together. That's one way that you know. What about you? What's another way?
Well, let me play the advocate here. So if that's one way that he or she knows that he loves you, mm-hmm. or they love you, then one way that he loves me not would be if they're not talking about the future together.
That's right.
Or they're not incorporating you in plans as you guys are going along in a whatever relationship that you call that.
I would agree. All right, so another way you can see if a person loves you is that see if that person gives you meaningful compliments, okay? The difference between saying, I like your new haircut, and you have the ability to make me feel better no matter what. If that person gives you a compliment that shows that he really appreciates you in that aspect, and he appreciates your character, your personality, then there's a good chance that he or she really loves you.
So if he or she loves you not, so say you just went and got your hair done,
mm-hmm.
and as you and your mate are walking down the street, he's checking out the next lady that's somewhere, the aisle over at the grocery store or whatnot, that's probably a good indication that he loves you not.
you know that ain't right. Like, that is so not right for a man to be with you and checking another woman out. And by the way, we're on to that. When we are with our man, we want our man's undivided attention. Because the women at the other table that your man is checking out, we're over there talking about your man. Girl, he just keeps looking over here. And I hate that. So I'm glad you know where to keep your eyes.
Let's just keep real for real. We're at the same, across at the bar saying, man, that guy's woman is checking me out as well. So it's ditto for ditto as well.
You're right. You're right. Okay. Whatever. So another way you can tell if that person really loves you is that they'll begin to open up and they'll begin to share things about you, their feelings, their fears, what they're longing for, their childhood, greatest regrets, the most painful moments, most romantic dreams, their future. And that's because they've established some type of comfort with you, that they trust you, and now they want to talk to you. So if they open up, it could mean that, you know, that they love you.
Yeah, and on the likewise, if I'm keeping everything bottled in and you ask me, hey, you want to talk about something? I'm like, no, nah, you know, it doesn't, you know, I'm good. I'm not going to, it's nothing to talk about. Or I was just thinking about something, but it's not that important. If I don't open up, it's not that I'm just a quiet person, but it's also just meaning that I'm being reserved and possibly not wanting to share my interests in my life. And believe me, most people share it with somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not you, I mean, who is that person that they're sharing with?
That's true. All right, so another way is that when you're away from that person will tell you how much he or she really missed you. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think that's always a good sign when, you know, when you're out of town, you know, and you call back and say, hey, sweetie, I love you or I missed you, you know, it makes me feel good. And then, you know, when you're in that type of relationship, it makes the other person feel good. But, hey, you know, what if you've been at work and the relationship is where you don't live in the same household or whatnot, and that person doesn't call you to check up on you, or you say you were sick and you never heard from them? That's kind of, you know, you get that if you see the signs, and here's your sign, you got to look out for them, then that's one of the ways that you know that he or she may love you or not.
Okay. So he loves me. He loves me. Okay, so if that person wants to be around you a lot, okay, some people might think that's clingy, but that's part of being in love, and it's wanting to be around the person that you love, even if it's impractical, okay? So if that person truly loves you, then he or she will want to be around you a lot. This doesn't mean the person will want to be attached at the hip, okay? Because they might be a little clingy. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean that that person will try to take as many opportunities as possible to see you. What do you say about that?
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. But if on the flip side, that person is always hanging out with their girls, hanging out with their boys,
mm-hmm.
always coming up with excuses, hey, I got to run this errand, I'll catch up with you later. Or, hey, you know what, me and Shanae are going to do this, get our nails done every time you call, and you know what, we can't meet up, or I'll hit you up later. Man, you got to begin to wonder, hey, is that person devoting the time towards what they truly want to devote the time to? And if it is, it may not be you.
It's true. Well, even with that saying, you know, a person would want to be around you all the time, also that person knows when to give you space. You know, if a person truly loves you, then he or she, you know, they'll want to be around you, but they'll also allow you space to do your own thing. That doesn't mean to go out and cheat. That doesn't mean to be out with your boys or your girls 24/7, but it means that he or she understands you have friends. And he or she may love your company, but they love being around their friends as well. And, you know, it's not a selfish type of love. So love is not selfish, you know. And in love, there's a sense of maturity. You have to mature in that love. And then, you know, the two people will realize that they still love each other, but sometimes they have to do things separate to maintain their own identity.
Well, that's so true. And I know for guys, it is especially important to have, you got to have that balance in a relationship. Now, most guys like to hang out with their boys a lot, but there has to be a balance there where if they're giving you the time at home, ladies, that when they do need to hang out, it's just for them to kind of recharge and come back to you in a good way, in a loving way, not for them to go out and do their dirt and then come back home, because that's not what it's about. And it's the same way for ladies as well, too. So everybody needs their space. I know my space is going and maybe shopping and whatnot, and then I come back, and I'm good. But everybody has that unique thing that they do or like to do that's just their space. Maybe it's fishing, maybe it's getting your hair done, whatever the case may be. It's always that special thing. Just like we don't go to the hairdresser with you because that's your thing, and you don't run to the barbershop because that's ours.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to the barbershop. We're going to cut that. I need to know what y'all talking about up in there. But anyway, okay, so another way you can tell if a person loves you is that they truly understand you, okay? And though it seems a little lame, the person should really get you in order to love you. They should understand your mood swings. They should understand what makes you happy, what makes you sad. And they should just understand you. And, you know, sometimes in a relationship we want to keep it to a point to where, you know, we're mysterious and we don't want to let a person know everything. And that's fine, because I think there's a sense of, like with men, I feel like they like the chase. So I don't believe that you should give everything all at once. It could scare them, ladies. It could run them off. So the minute you meet a guy, you don't need to let him know everything, okay? He need to just find some things out on his own, okay? I'm not saying be dishonest. I'm just saying you may not be in a situation to where you've been in a relationship long enough to start sharing, you know, really intimate things. And sometimes we let ourselves out, or we're seen too quickly, okay? And then the man is bored because the chase is not there anymore. We told him everything. We told him all about our childhood and our baby daddies and all that type of stuff, that there's no more figuring out, you know? So all I'm saying is that when a person truly understands you, and they're okay with your mood swings, they understand that you like to get your nails done, or they understand, you know, you want to go get your hair done alone or whatever, you know, that could be a sign that they love you.
Yeah, okay, I agree with that. But just as a side note, if you got 15 kids, let me know that up front right now. But at the same token, you know, it's not much I can give you on the he loves me not on that side. Other than to say, you know, you can let it come out little by little, but, you know, if someone loves you, they're going to, especially a man, they're going to accept you for who you are and what you have to offer. Just don't go around hiding everything that might be beneficial, okay? So, like the 15 kids, I want to know that right up front.
That's right. Don't hide your 15 kids. They'll come out eventually. Okay, we're going to go over a couple of more, and then we're going to open up the lines for our audience. If a person wants the best for you, I mean, we could go on with this, but I think that is a key factor if they want the best for you. Because if they want the best for you, they'll understand that that will include changes. It might take time. It might take money. It might take supporting you and being alone sometimes. Say, for example, if you want to go back and you want to go to school and you want to reeducate yourself, you know, if a person loves you, they're going to say, you know what, I love John. And John, he would like to go back to school. So with that said, I'm going to support him in that and allow him to go back to school. And I'm going to be confident that he loves me enough that when he graduates, he's not going to leave me, right? So you got to be secure about who you are, and you've got to be able to want the best for your mate. And that's love, and that's unselfish love. What do you say, honey?
Well, yeah, I totally agree with that one. You got to support your mate in whatever endeavors, whatever dreams that they may have. I mean, your dream of being an author definitely now being tested or whatnot, but I support that, and I have supported that. I think the show wouldn't even be possible if it wasn't your dream to have a radio talk show. I'm not the one, but I'm here, you know, only because I support you in your dream, and because you needed a good balance of male perspective, I am here to support you in this endeavor.
Thank you, baby.
So I think that is a very, very, very true quality. What else you got? Because I think these callers are dying to talk.
All right. So this is the last one. I've got a lot more, but this is one. When a person can truly be themselves around you, like, you have to be who you are. As for me, I'm silly sometimes. I'm crazy. I'm sometimes over the top. Some of you callers might know me personally, but I am. I like to have fun. I know that's not the case all the time because I'm not always, you know, fun and happy 24/7, but, you know, I do have a serious side. But with that said, my husband is a little bit more structured and
a lot
and serious, and that's okay by me. But he has never said, Monette, you need to stop being who you are. And I love that about my husband, that he accepts me for who I am, and I don't have to change a thing. He accepts me for the fact that I wear my weave, okay? You know, I've been in relationships where the other person said, why don't you wear your real hair? Because I don't want to. It ain't that I don't have any hair, but, you know, I want to wear my weave, okay? And that's just an example, but it's real, you know? This morning I had my real hair out, and my husband was off going off to work, and he kissed me as hard with my real hair showing than with my weave. And what he's saying is, baby, the weave doesn't make you. I love you for who you are. You know, I'm sitting there all nappy-headed, taking my weave down, and he just kissed me with so much affection. And I thought, wow, that made me feel like a million bucks. Now, I got my weave in. Don't get it twisted, okay? It is back. But that says a lot about his character. What do you think? What do you think happens when a person doesn't accept you for who you are?
Well, I can tell you from firsthand, if a person doesn't accept you for who you are, then that relationship, if it's a relationship in the beginning, is, I can't say it's doomed to fail, but you're going to have a lot of uphill challenges in that, because there's always going to be one side that wants to be who they truly are, and that person that doesn't want to allow for them to be, because they want them to be somebody that they want them to be,
mm-hmm.
it's changing somebody that's not probably ready and going to change. So,
okay.
Yeah.
So before we wrap it up and open up for our audience, I said I had one more, but I think I did not. Hush. I think this is very important, too. I think that if a person is there for you, if they're always there for you, even if it's inconvenient, you know, I know that you have people out there who may be a little bit needier than others. And that may be the case because that's the way you are. But I believe that God has somebody for that individual. And I believe that if that person really loves you, that they'll be there for you even when it's an inconvenience.
Yeah, I agree. Because in an inconvenience, yeah, I choked. Pardon me. But, I agree that even when it's an inconvenience, you know, I think that, you know, it's an inconvenience when you're asleep and guess what? The person you're seeing calls you and says, hey, my car broke down on the side of the road. It's 2 a.m. and I really need your help, you know. But
yeah.
If that person can't be there for you at that time, then how would you expect for them to be there for you at any given time
right.
for you? So at some point they have to show what they're willing to go through to be there for you.
That's right.
All right, let's wrap that part up, and let's open this up to any callers out there.
All right, callers, we want to hear from you. He loves me. He loves me not. Any take on the subject tonight?
No.
Anybody got any comments? I hear you out
Hello?
There. There's somebody rattling their phones. Yeah, we're here.
That's me.
Well, I knew that. Well, it was kind of like in the beginning when I met my husband. I was running from him. He was chasing me, but I was running from him.
Mm-hmm.
So finally, after he was doing stuff for me, and, you know, of course, I wasn't paying him any attention, he was like, well, I'm done with her. So finally, I started realizing that I felt like, I'm not going to really say that he loved me, but I felt like he cared a lot about me because he was doing stuff for my kids that wasn't even
mm-hmm.
his kids. And I was in the process of moving, but he would always make sure, like, that we wasn't eating out of boxes. He would bring food to
mm-hmm.
us and you know, he brought his game over there, which was something that his nephews, they was like, hey, Unc, you never let us keep your game. But he let my kids keep it so that they could play the game. So
wow.
I knew that he, I knew he cared about me, but I didn't know, you know, actually how he felt. But he ended up having a birthday party, and, you know, that's how we ended up, you know, really hooking up. And then he, as time went on, he had a house, and what made me know that he loved me, because I was renting a house, and I said, you know, he was having problems with his house, you know, from going through a previous divorce. So I knew that he loved me then, because I said, hey, I'm not going to live with you with that house being in another lady's name. You can come live with me when his time permits, you know, when God decides, hey, we can get another house, then we'll get another house. And he let that house go to come be with me. So that's how I knew that he loved me. But the way that I knew that I loved him was because even when he was chasing me, after I realized I really loved him, I was calling him. He wasn't answering the phone. And keep in mind, I had a key before he ended up moving with me. I had a key to his house. So he wasn't answering the phone. I go over there. I went in with the key, you know, just thinking somebody else was over there, and it wasn't even nobody there. So I knew that I really wanted to be with this man then. So 5 years later, we are together and married with our own children. So,
wow. So basically what you just said is that he sacrificed, you know, not only for you but for the people around you. And I really do believe, you know, that's a sign of love, that when a person loves you, they'll take care of your children, they'll help you with your kids, and then they will sacrifice at times when it may not be easy, so that you can be happy and then everybody around you can be happy. So I think that's a great point. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that with us. Any other callers?
Well, I just, and this is Tabitha, I just wanted to address like a really kind of a moment that I could appreciate the affection that my, well, he's my ex-husband now, that he had for me. I don't remember where we were. I don't want to say the grocery store because I didn't do any of the grocery shopping and I kind of hate the grocery store. But I believe we were someplace where there were strawberries. I think they were on the side of the road, if I recall. And I remember saying, God, I love strawberries. I haven't had strawberries in years, and I don't know why I don't get them. Well, probably because I didn't grocery shop. But I really love strawberries. And the next time, and this was probably 2 weeks later, and I had gone into this, and he didn't say anything, and he'd gone grocery shopping, came back, and I went into the kitchen for something, you know, kind of looking around for a snack, and there were strawberries there. And what I remember thinking is that he doesn't just love me for the other stuff, for the bedroom stuff, and for having his kids, and for hiring the maid, you know, and taking care of the school stuff. He loves me enough that even my innocuous comment of something that I liked, he made a mental note to not only get it, but to make sure that every time he went to the store, there were always strawberries from that day forth. And it's that kind of thoughtfulness that you really know. Like for me, I think with men, because they don't always, they're not the greatest of communicators. Women, we're chatty Cathy, so we're always going to say sometimes way too much. But I think a lot of women don't appreciate some of the very little things that a man will demonstrate to them. I mean, it always doesn't have to be a grand gesture. It doesn't have to be, you know, big things. It can be something as simple as, you know, you get in the car and he just so happens to have on your favorite music. Or my ex-husband used to do this. We would get in the car, and I didn't know for a long time that he liked to hear me sing. So he would intentionally play songs that he knew I would naturally want to sing so he could hear me sing.
Aww.
And then when we get out of the car, you know, he'd say something like, oh, you know, that was really nice or something. But it was things like that, that he was appreciating my talents. He was appreciating whatever it was I brought to the table. In any topic that I would say something about an interest, he would go and research it and learn it so that we could talk about that topic.
I like
that.
I like that.
Right. But on the other side of that, Because it's always a give and take, and I agree with Monette with a happy marriage and a healthy marriage. And ours was for a good 10 years, so I know what a good and a great marriage looks like. I didn't like football at all. I'm basketball. I knew everything about basketball. I could probably tell you every stat. Know nothing about football. But he loved football. So what I would do as a compromise, when football season started, I would always – get the kids and vacate the kids, and I intentionally get them out of his way. And then I would let him know, don't worry about dinner, you get what you want, because he always liked to eat wings, and he always liked to drink beer when he had football player. So I would immediately vacate the premises with the children so he could, for at least those 4 or 5 hours, be the bachelor that he wanted to be in his mind. I mean, this is a man who had 3 kids. We were in his 20s. You know, he was holding down this family. He had a wonderful guy, and this was the only moment he had. So I made sure that these toddler kids were out of his way. They didn't, I mean, they didn't say a peep. And then, of course, being a good wife, I would do what we discussed earlier and reward him in the place that he could be rewarded in, which was the bedroom, to let him know that I appreciated the fact that he was a good husband, and I gave him that time so he could enjoy himself. And he'd do the same thing for me when I would have bad days. He would shuffle the kids off, and they'd be gone all day. So yeah. I think it's that give and take that really make the relationship special.
Yeah, and I think that's very important in a relationship. And sometimes when, you know, we look at relationships, there's so much taking. What are you going to do for me? What are you going to do for me?
Right.
But in a marriage, you work to make your mate happy, you know, and it is work because sometimes it takes that extra effort, especially when you work and you got kids and you got everything else going on. It takes an extra effort to make your mate happy and to sacrifice some of the things that he or she might like. And clearly it makes for a better marriage. You know, when you stop doing that, that's when things go sour and you have to keep it up. And you know, over time people change. So sometimes you have to change it up, you know, a little bit. I know, you know, when John and I first started dating, there were certain foods that I liked that I may not like today, you know. But, you know, you got to change with time. But you have to continue to sacrifice, maybe even more in some cases than you would others. There are going to be times where you sacrifice a lot, and then there's going to be a time when you don't sacrifice as much. But you got to know what season that you're in. You may not get back everything that you're sacrificing, you know, in that season, but there may be a season where your mate might have to come back and take care of you, meaning that, you know, sometimes we come across health issues, you know, where your mate might have to take care of you. And that's the season that you're in. And then maybe later on down the line, you might have to take care of your mate. So love is a give and take, you know, and it is an action word. And someone can tell you they love you all day long, but if they're not putting those words into actions, that's not true love. And you know what really, really irks me about a lot of relationships? I'm tell you what irks me. What irks me is when you have a single woman with children, and a man is dating her, okay? And he knows that she's single, she's barely making it, and she's working hard to make ends meet, and he's dating her. And there's a time that he could help her and he doesn't. That irks me because I believe that a real man will see the need of that woman. And if not, if she lets him know, then I believe if he can help her, he should. And that's a pet peeve of mine. I'm sorry. Because when you're trying to get the prize, you're trying to win that woman over. And anything that you start off doing in the beginning, you have to keep it up. So she's got children, and in the beginning, you're taking them out to eat. You're helping her with this. You're helping her with that. You know, if nothing has changed financially, those are things you should continue to do once you get the prize. And that's just, you know, that's just my thought and my take on things. Is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Or?
Well, I'd like to say, to your point, I actually agree with you. I actually am dating a gentleman now, and I struggled with that. I'd been married for almost 20 years, and so my ex-husband, he gave everything to me, so I didn't really have a notion of asking for something from someone when I needed it, because it was never an issue. So I was dating this guy, and I'd been dating him for a while, And I never will forget him saying, I needed something, and I think he knew it because I kept kind of talking about it, but I would never say, hey, I really need this. And finally, I was, you know, got up the nerve to ask him, and he said, and I never forget this, he said, I want to tell you this so you'll know it, even if you don't, we don't make it, so you know it for the next. He said, if you need something, and he says he cares about you, a real man will always provide for you.
That's right.
No questions asked.
That's
no
right.
questions and asked. He said, that's what men do. He said, that
right.
is what they do. He said, so if you ever wonder if you're with one, he said, that's a good test to have. If you tell them you need something and they say no, and they have the ability to do so, he said, then that's not
yeah.
a real man, and you should keep
well,
moving.
That's right. The thing is, if a person really, and this is not from a male, you know, a female's perspective. This is for the female as well. If he or she truly loves you, they will support you. And sometimes that's not always financially.
Right.
You've got women
right.
out there and men out there. They go for the gusto and they want to be in a relationship for money. Okay, but we're not talking about those individuals. We're talking about people who sincerely want to be in a relationship and have a healthy relationship. Okay. But if he or she really loves you, then they'll be there for you through the good times and the bad times, okay?
Right.
And as we know, life is going to bring challenges. And so you'll really know if that person cares about you because during those rough times, they'll hang in there. And I know, you know, early on in John and our relationship, I went through some rough times. And there was a time when I was at the emergency room probably every other week, every 2 weeks. And, I mean, he would get up at 3 a.m. in the morning and go with me and sit, you know, fall asleep, you know, sitting next to me. And, you know, that said a lot about his character. And that made me love him even more because when I was down and not necessarily, you know, in the best of health, he was there for me. And so that meant a lot. Thanks, Tabitha, for your comments. I love it. Thank you. Keep it coming. Is there anybody else out there that would like to have a comment or statement or question? Please don't tell me that Tabitha is the only one that's going to talk to us tonight. Tabitha and the other lady. I think that was, I'm not going to say her name because she didn't say it, so I'm not going
to
say it.
And I will keep talking. I got a lot more to say.
You will, y'all. This is my
I'm trying to wait.
Call. I didn't close that, but I'm so glad you called in tonight. Thank you. But you know, another way that you know you know when a person cares about you. I don't know about you know the audience, but when John and I first started dating, I would get giddy. Like I would get silly. Mm. I would get a happy feeling. I would get the I call it the butterfly effect in my stomach. It eventually wore off. Why is that? I need to get that again, okay? But I would get giddy. I would get the butterflies in my belly. And I still get giddy now, but it's in a different way. And early on, you know, I knew that because when he would pull up and he would knock on the door, I would be so excited to see him. Did you ever get butterflies?
Yo, yeah. I think yeah.
Men get butterflies.
Well, we ain't going to call them butterflies. We'll call them little football players rumbling around. But yeah, I'm getting a little excited about that.
How long did it take for your football players to wear off?
You know, I don't know how long it took to wear. I don't know if they actually ever wear off. I mean,
they get,
it's kind of subdued, but it comes from time to time. You get.
Yeah.
But, I mean, after a while you get, I don't want to say used to, but you get in a comfort zone.
Right.
That's not a bad thing. It's just that you know it's the beauty of marriage. You know you're coming home to the one you love. You know you're coming home to the one that loves you. So the butterflies kind of subdue just a little bit. The football players kind of take a halftime break. But, you know, every now and then there's something that, you know, you might put on a certain dress or whatnot, and I'm not
right.
expecting it to come home, and bam, they're there, and they, you know, they're rumbling up. They're ready
yeah.
to play.
Yeah.
So, hey, I'm just saying.
All right. Okay. You know, it's funny because because there are certain things that will let you know. And I believe that when you know a person is in love with you, you don't have to guess it. You don't have to ask. It's just something that you feel, you know, in your heart. Everything's there. Everything just it just fits, you know, and you just know it. You don't have to guess it. I remember I used to say to God, I would say to him, I'll know when you send my husband, the real man in my dreams, because I'll be able to see it in his eyes. And he'll give me a look, and I didn't know what the look was. I didn't know. I just said, I'll be able to see it in his eyes.
It's the closet.
Huh?
It's the closet.
Closet?
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I'm standing in the closet.
No. Baby, don't be telling me about the closet.
No.
Okay. Okay, so I got to tell you, now since he mentioned the closet, he's not talking about coming out of the closet. He's talking about there was this moment where he had this certain sex appeal, and he was getting something out of his closet, and he was really sexy to me, and I got a little butterflies, okay? He's talking about that, but that wasn't it. It's a constant look. It's that look he has for me when I drive out of the garage and I'm leaving the house. He always stands there. We have this thing. We haven't really never talked about it, but we do it. You know, when he's leaving the house, he walks out to the garage, and he stands there, and he waves, and then we wave again. But while I'm backing out, I'm in reverse, he looks at me a certain way, and I can't explain it. He probably doesn't even know it. But it's the look that I always knew that my soulmate would have for me, and I never saw it in anybody else. You know, but I just knew it was going to come. And so it's here. And I feel blessed to, you know, have my soulmate in my life. And, you know, our show is to encourage people, whether they're married or looking for a relationship, desiring to be in a relationship or continuing on, you know, in a relationship and headed towards marriage, is to know your worth. When you know your worth and you know what you prayed for to God, don't settle for anything else, because we serve a God who is capable of giving you your heart's desires if your ways be pleasing unto him. And that's biblical. That's in the Word. So I want to encourage everyone, before we run out of time, to trust God. And regardless of what you see on TV, what you read about, that true love is, you know, hard to find, there aren't any good men out there, you know, there are. And sometimes God will hold off on what you're really desiring because he wants you first. Because he knows when you get married, you know, you're gonna put him on the back burner. You'll still serve God, don't get me wrong, but the Bible is true when it says a married woman tends to care about what's pleasing to her husband. It's not that you don't love God. It's just that the time that you have for God as a single woman, now you're putting more of your time into your husband. Not that you're making him, his, you know, your God. But it's true. The times you could be reading your Bible, you're prepping for dinner. You know, the time that you could lay in bed and read your Bible, you're prepping for something else, you know, if you know what I'm saying. So, you know, it's not that you don't love God, but enjoy being single. Embrace being single. And then pray and ask God to send that individual to you. And then when you pray, believe it. Believe that God has that man or that woman for you, because he does. And when you believe it, you're going to draw that blessing to you. God is going to release it, because according to your faith, be it unto you. So I want to encourage you not to settle and not to second guess yourself when it comes to love, because when love is true and it's there, you can feel it in your gut. Honey, you got anything to say?
Yeah, here's my encouraging words for the night that you weren't ready for, Monette.
Whatever.
So I'm going to use your analogy of the flower petal that you were picking. And one thing I want all our callers to definitely remember, whether you're single and you're looking for that right person to spend your time with, or you're married and you've been married a short time or a very long time, when you're picking that petal and you're saying, he loves me not, he loves me not, if you keep God first in your life and know who your Father is, and know that he will supply all your needs and be there for you, and that he is your creator and will love you no matter what you do, then you always will know when you get to the last petal that it's always that he loves me, because God always loves you. And love and God is love, as they say. So that I want you to always keep in mind and be encouraged with. So, Monet, what are we going to talk about next week?
Well, no, we're not going to expand about next week just yet, because I have something that you wasn't ready for. I wrote you a little poem. It's real short. It took me about 3 minutes, but I want to read it to you. Are you ready?
Read it.
All right. Act like you're ready to receive this. Look me in the eye, okay? You ready? Okay. The love you show me is nothing that I've ever felt. You always seem to make my heart melt. You give your all and nothing less. You even passed my do you love me test. Your warm embrace keeps a smile on my face as I pull each petal from the rose while smelling its fragrance upon my nose. He loves me. He loves me not. That's not the way love goes. I play the game no more. You have the key that unlocked love's door. I will love you, John Legs, forevermore.
Oh, thank you.
I love you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Well, I guess on that note, I guess we want to let our callers know that next week is Thanksgiving for all our blessed callers out there. And so next Tuesday, for the sake of spending time with your loved ones and your family, we will not be hosting the show next week. We will be re-airing one of our topics prior. I believe we're going to re-air Baby Mama Drama for those who were available for it or have not. You're more than welcome to listen to it next week. But the following week, which I don't know the date, but I'm sure Monet will have it out and posted. We will be back on the air.
Sex.
And we were talking about sex and sanctified. No, sex saved and sanctified.
Yep.
Now that should be one heck of a topic there. All right. Well, callers, we'd like to thank you for calling in tonight, for all of you who just listened and didn't speak, which we gladly appreciate you.
I want to give a shout-out to all of the callers who called in tonight. Thank you guys so much for your love and support. We really believe in marriage. We want you to keep calling in, tell your friends about our show, continue to call in and make comments, ask questions. And also I want to thank a special thanks to all of my family members, my sisters who call in, my church sisters, my spiritual sisters, my blood sisters. I want to thank y'all so much, my blood brothers, my spiritual brothers. Thank y'all for calling in. You know, this is a passion for me more so than John. I think it's becoming a passion because he's really enjoying this. And I want to, you know, openly thank my husband for being very supportive in the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show. And if you don't know what Mojo stands for, it's my name, Monet, M-O. And John, which is J-O. So it's the Mojo Blog Talk Radio Show. And we have this show because we really, really believe that marriage matters. It really matters. So we want y'all to look us up on Facebook and go like us on Facebook and, you know, make comments about the show. You can do it on my personal page. Just go out and say, hey, we really enjoyed the show. You know, we need that positive feedback. So keep calling in, and John's going to pray us out. Thank you.
No, I got to give a shout-out. I give a shout-out to Clay from Chick-fil-A in Fort Worth, just in case he called in and listened. It was great meeting him over the weekend. But anyway, may God keep you, may God bless you, and keep you until we meet again. We love y'all, and be blessed. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.